Amen. Can you give our worship team a hand this morning for the way that they've led us? So good. Yeah. An exciting day for sure after worshiping like that. And the benefit of having a 2.5 hour drive to get here is to listen to a whole lot of whatever music I choose, because she always falls asleep. And so I get to just handle the radio, which is always the case, no matter awake or asleep. So I'm ready to go this morning. Man, I've listened to Dolly Parton, He's Alive, and now I come up here and hear this. I'm ready to go. This is good. Open up to Matthew chapter 28, if you would. And while you're turning there, if you're a guest this morning, it is a real, real privilege to have you with us. We're so excited. My name is Warren Gassaway, and I've had the honor of serving the church here in the last 3 months or so as an interim. And there is another interim on the way that we're really excited about. It's a new season in the church, and there's a lot of things that are going on that God is doing and God is blessing. And so if you're a guest this morning, just know that it is a good time to get involved. It's a good time to be here. We're really, really hoping you feel welcome in this place. The future of First Baptist Church Pea Ridge is so exceedingly bright. God is going to bless and favor and do some tremendous things. The foundation is here, the people, the core, the love, the spirit that is in this place. And I hope and pray, if you're a guest here today, that you sense that and will join again. We'd love to have you. I'm 48 years old, and so I come from what they call Generation X. And I like to call it the no fear generation, because around my heyday, back in the like 89, mid-80s, we were the no fear generation. We had the no fear t-shirts, the no fear hats. Some of you ex-skaters and posers remember that day where you wish you could be. Yeah, and I know that company's still around a little bit, but that was us. Because Generation X is all about the experience. We love the experience. I mean, we took bungee jumping to new heights. Way before TikTok challenge, there was us. So I just want you people to know that, right? And so we had bungee jumping. We started MMA fighting. So we drove tractors. By the time we were 8, we went down country roads at 60 miles an hour without any seatbelts growing up. That was who we were, and that's how we were the first latchkey kids. We were the first ones to go home and be home by ourselves and not lock the door, because we just didn't have the kind of worries and concerns that some people have today. But all of it was a mask, because in every generation, I don't care who you are, and even here today, all of us across this room, there's no such thing as no fear. We have fundamental fears at the core of every one of us. We have fear of meaninglessness. We have fear of death. And we come to a holiday like Easter, and what we love about Easter, it pushes back against those fears. Easter is that day where we believe in something that is beyond ourselves, that is greater, that is bigger. Some of us are scared when we walk into the room. You've walked in today with all these fears, not only death, not only meaninglessness, but you have fears of all sorts of craziness that's going on in your lives, and it's causing great anxiety. But you know the fear that I worry about the most, for those of you who've walked into the room today that may have it? I worry about those that fear the Easter message. You fear that it may be real, and you really don't know what to do with it. You fear that this message will change your life, and you almost reserve yourself, hold yourself back because of those fears that exist. So join me in Matthew 28, and why don't you come and see this morning a resurrected king and what he can do in your life. Matthew chapter 28, 2:5-6. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Oh, don't be afraid. because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. This morning, four quick statements I want us to look at from the angel. Four really quick statements because I've heard of chickens being smoked and pork butt being roasted and all sorts of stuff. So real quick this morning, write down this first one. Did you hear it? Do not fear. Do not fear. The angel said this to the women who were coming to the tomb. They were going to the tomb to continue the burial rituals that they had to break off because the Sabbath had come upon them so quick in Jesus' death. They had to continue the rituals and the anointing of Jesus' body. So they're heading towards the tomb, expecting to see a body there, but they went alone. Did you notice who wasn't there? The guys. The guys weren't there. Now we kind of want to cast some blame on maybe the disciples running away from Jesus. Why aren't they there? We really don't know. We'll find out one day in glory. But the disciples are on the run. Make no mistake. They're probably having to hide out. What began with Jesus is carrying over to all of those who followed him. But the ladies were able to make it. And don't you know that all across the followers of Jesus, there was a sense of dread, a sense of hopelessness, a sense of fear. I don't know if you've ever been around someone personally when they took their last breath. Have you ever held the hand of a person as they died? Once that last breath is drawn, there is a sense of finality. All of a sudden, reality changes. That's exactly what happened to them as they gazed upon the cross. So as they make their way towards the tomb, fear, anxiety. Where's our hope? Where's our champion? Before they arrived, something particular had happened. An earthquake had sort of rattled the ground a little bit, and an angel had appeared in flashes of lightning, as we just heard from Zach. And I love this picture. Roman guards, big, burly, vicious Roman guards, feel the earthquake, see the angel, and they flat pass out. They're like dead men, is what the scripture says. They're out. But the ladies show up. This is ladies now. They show up and see an angel, and they're like, okay, we got to find out what's going on here. And the angel says to those ladies, with all of your hesitations and anxieties, don't fear. Did you know that the number one command in scripture is do not fear? Over and over and over again throughout the scriptures. Some of you come into the room and you think, man, this religion that they practice is all fraught with laws and all these responsibilities. And listen, there's some things about how we live. But the number one command in scripture is do not fear. It goes all the way back to where God's people were told to go towards the promised land. Get out on this wilderness journey. Go fight the giants in the land and do not fear. I am giving you this land. We move forward to people like David and Jeremiah and Job who question the circumstances of life, who are going through all sorts of depressive episodes, who are going through all sorts of hardships, and the command comes again and again, do not fear. We fast forward now to an angel sitting on an empty grave marker, and these women approach, and he says, the culmination of redemptive history is here in this moment. Do not fear. Oh, today we face many fears. All across this room, people fear irrelevancy. Does my life even matter? We fear missing out, FOMO. We fear missing out on the big stuff. We fear death. We fear low quality of life. We fear loneliness. We fear losing our comfort and losing our financial stability. We fear making a mistake. We fear that this religious thing that we're doing is all just a big joke. But today on Easter, when we come to an empty tomb and a risen Savior and find that it really is empty, we can believe the command, do not fear. The angel is telling the followers, listen, you're experiencing the supernatural. What is happening is part of a much, much bigger plan. What you saw was not the end. Wasn't the end. Think about your fears for just a second. Your fears are rooted in, forgive me for just a second, but your fears are rooted in ignorance. That's where our fears come from. When we just don't know, we begin to fear. Ignorance is just not knowing how this thing is going to play out. I promise you there are people in this room right now, you do not know how this circumstances is going to play out, and you fear that. Fear is rooted in the worst expectations possible. That's what brings on fear. You're walking down a dark alley in a city by yourself in the middle of the night, and you have fear because in your mind you're playing through every horror movie that you've ever seen. And it's this expectation that comes upon you that the worst is going to happen. That's where fear comes from. Fear comes when you identify a threat. This is harmful. I fear this. Fear comes from past incidents or traumas that you've been through. You'll find yourself maybe even in a relationship where you're like, oh, this is familiar. This did not work out well. And all of a sudden, fear begins to creep in. Lack of confidence in yourself. The world recognizes fear. Forbes magazine, of all people, in 2020 did a big article on fear. And you know what they found the antidote to be? The antidote to fear. Forbes magazine, secular publishing. Hope. Hope. The angel sits on the throne, on the stone, and says, look into the empty tomb. Hope has won. Do not fear. Come see a God who rises from the dead. Here's the second statement. Write this down. Number two, you are looking for Jesus. You are looking for Jesus. If you do a brief scan over Matthew 28, it's so fascinating. You're going to see the words again and again. See, look, seek. Look at verse 7. You will see him. Verse 10, they will see me. Verse 16, when they saw him. Over and over, this passage is all about seeking and seeing Jesus. Even a doubting disciple named Thomas, I won't believe until I see the nail-scarred hands. All of us have an ultimate longing in this room, an ultimate desire to see God. It's at our very, very core. Think about what you're seeking in life right now. What do you want out of life? What do you want out of this life? Recognition? A good family? All good things. Purpose? You want to be loved? Comfort? Stability? You want to make a difference? All of those are great components to life, but there's one desire. Think about it. One desire. Man, it grabs at us more than any other desire. We try to keep it tamped down, not let it spring up because we don't want to deal with it. But the ultimate desire that we have is to see God. Behold the wondrous mystery. Jesus has risen from the dead. There's a problem in our life as we have these desires. We go chasing after so many things to fill them up. Oh, we go chasing after experiences. We go chasing after relationships. We go chasing after money and comfort and stability. It was Easter 29 years ago when I finally learned the lesson as a young disciple of Jesus that my ultimate desire is him and can only be met by him. 29 years ago on an Easter Sunday, I was sitting in church in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'd been on this major, major traveling trip with the Arkansas Razorback basketball team, flying all over the country, March Madness, going from game to game, living the high life. I'm not kidding you guys. We didn't have any responsibilities. I had excuses for all my grades, which were terrible. I had excuses for not having financial worries because they were giving us per diems. We were dining in great restaurants. We were staying in the finest hotels. They were rolling out the red carpet everywhere we went. I was shooting basketball on rooftops with the Arkansas Razorbacks, people that played in the NBA and all this other stuff. I was living the high life. We get to a national championship game. CBS is there. They're covering the thing. It's an ecstatic, electric atmosphere. The pinnacle of life, if you will. Scotty Thurman hits a three-point shot over an outstretched Duke ball player. And we end up winning the game, and the place goes absolutely chaotic. People are crying. People are screaming. I mean, it's so good, y'all. It's so good. Cheerleaders are hugging band members. That's how good it is. That don't happen. That don't happen. And I'm not going to kid you. You're going to think I'm weird. I stood about 20 yards from where he hit that shot. As soon as the game was over, place just chaos. And it all went dull to me for a second. I'm serious, the roar went dull. And the Lord God asked me one question in the midst of all that. He said, okay, you've been living it up. Can I ask you something? He said, does this even compare to walking with me? And it didn't. And it doesn't. My ultimate longing, your ultimate longing, is to see Jesus. When you walk with God, you live in a fulfilled, Scripture calls it, abundant life. That's the ultimate longing. You are looking for Jesus today. Easter reminds us to find him. God is alive. And that brings us to number three. Write this one down. Number three, death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. What did the angel say? He is not here. He is risen. Risen from the dead. There's actually life after death. There is a victory over death. What a risen Savior means is that there is another life attainable. A risen Savior means a defeated death. Their greatest enemy wasn't the Romans. Oh, there's a new lesson coming into the followers of Jesus at this moment, because they thought it was all about the Romans and their captivity and how their culture was being stripped away. That wasn't their greatest enemy. Their greatest enemy wasn't the religious elites who set up and made all these extra laws and rules and lorded it over the people. Their greatest enemy wasn't poverty. It wasn't sickness. It wasn't culture. The greatest enemy we face was death, and on that day, it was defeated forevermore. He is risen. Death is no more. He gained, and now he grants resurrection life. The scriptures say the same power that rose Jesus from the dead now lives in you. Amen. The grave tried to hide the holiness of Jesus. The grave tried to suppress the sacrifice. The grave tried to silence a story. The grave tried to prove that he was powerless, but then the grave was empty. People saw it. People saw him, and realization came. Man, this isn't the end. Death is not the final word. He is risen. I love the name Zoe. Zoe. Anyone in here named Zoe, just real quick? Anyone? Zoe? That is a Greek word. So Zoe is a Greek word for life. Now, in the English language, we just have one word for all sorts of words. Deer, for example. That can mean a lot of things, right? Life. But in the Greek language, there are three words for life. In your scriptures, you'll see three kind of interchange. There's bios. That's, of course, physical life. It's where we get our word biology. Then there's psuche. That's the life of the mind. That's the life of the mind. It's our existence type of life. It's our thinking life. It's where we get the word psychology. And then there's Zoe. Oh, Zoe's different. Zoe means full of life. It's the breadth of life. It's the complete life. It's where we get the word zoology, but here it means so much more. It's the eternal life. When you see John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting Zoe, life. Not bios, not just the physical, not just the psychological, the soul life that is in you. Listen to me, some of us are walking into the room today and we're just living the bios and we're just living the psychos. And you got to come to Jesus to find the Zoe kind of life. Do you know why the early church grew in the middle of a rotten pagan society? Now that sounds familiar. Do you know why the early church grew amongst a slew of unbelievers? Do you know why the early church exploded in the midst of a godless society with cultic practices and immorality and worship of all sorts of evil? Does that sound familiar? You know why they grew? Because they believed that Jesus had risen from the dead, that there was an eternal life, and that is our greatest pursuit. There's victory. This is not a dead religion. We are alive and being made alive by a Savior who's no longer in the grave. Which brings me to the fourth. You can trust Jesus. You can write that down. Write it on your hearts. You can trust Jesus. What'd the angel say? Just as he said. Come and see. Just as he said. Go and meet him in Galilee, just as he said. When Jesus rose from the grave, he completed the ultimate prophecy, the ultimate act. No one self-rises from the dead. No one does that, but a king. Everything he said, we can trust. Jesus said he would be betrayed by one of his own, and he was. Jesus said he would be denied by one of his own, and he was. Jesus said he would rise again, and he did. Jesus said he would go and meet them in Galilee, and he did. Jesus said his church would be built, and it was. Jesus said there's another way to live, and there is. Jesus said we would have trouble, and we do. Jesus said he's coming back, and he will. You can trust Jesus. We fall in love with things that we can trust. I have a rainbow vacuum cleaner, man. That thing's been going for 18 years. No one touches it but me. No one in the family. I'm the vacuum guy. I pull that thing out of the closet, I flip the switch, and it kicks every time. Now, we sold a couple of children to buy the thing. But I trust that thing. Now watch it break, now that I've said it. I had a 1968 Ford pickup farm truck that kind of became my truck in high school. Three on the tree, no air conditioning, AM radio, no power steering. 250,000 miles every time I put the key in. Started just like that. Even if it had sat in the field, which it did often, for months, trusted that thing. Then we come to a scripture that says Jesus rose from the grave. If he did, we better trust him with everything we've got. Jesus is trustworthy. If you don't really trust him, listen to me, really grab onto this. If you don't really trust him, you're just hoping. And your life and faith probably reflects that. Hate to sting for just a second. There's a difference between trust and hope. Melissa and I have walked through the death of parents, one tragically many years ago at too young of an age. We walked through cancer 3 years ago, cancer journey that she went on. We've walked through relationships that should have been awesome, but y'all, they went crazy, haywire. People that should, just betrayal, just be honest with you. Through every one of those circumstances, listen to me, Jesus was trustworthy. He never left. He was right there. A lot of people come in here with expectations of God. They want God to be a certain way. When our expectations of God are for him to obey us or be like what we want more than we're going to obey him, we will not find him. That's not the way to find God. You cannot create the image of God. God is God. So when we come in here today, what are our expectations for who the Lord is? All we can do is approach an empty tomb with fear, not knowing exactly what's going on, and listen to him. when he says, come and see. Go, I'll meet you there. You will see me, is what he said. You will see me. Do you trust Jesus enough to listen to him this morning that you will see him? If you obey him, if you hear his voice, the scripture says, you will see him. In 2010, there was an antiques dealer by the name of Forrest Finn. He hid over $1 million in treasure in the Rocky Mountains. He would periodically go online on his blog and give little hints of where the treasure may be in the Rockies. He even wrote an autobiography with a 24-line poem with tons of clues written into the poem that you had to figure out in order to find this million-plus-dollar treasure. And since it was announced in 2010, thousands upon thousands of people have gone looking. Five of them died. Hundreds of them lost their life savings looking for Forrest Finn's treasure. They dedicated themselves to this one thing. One person went so far as to dig up graves in a graveyard and get sent to prison, thinking that the treasure was underneath one of those graves. And then in June of 2020, the announcement came. Someone found the treasure in Yellowstone Park of Wyoming. Treasure hunters all over the place, looking for value, looking for meaning, taking this great big adventure that they could not figure out, could not work out in their minds, willing to sacrifice everything to find the treasure. Easter morning, the women went to the tomb of Jesus. They were searching for him. They couldn't find him. When they arrived, they were met with good news that he had risen just as he said. They came, they saw, and it became the treasure of their lives. I feel like in this room even, some of us are in these empty, vain pursuits. We're like people heading towards the Rocky Mountains, trying to find something that's almost not there. And then in the middle of all of it, Jesus comes in this sweet, still, quiet voice. And he says, come and see. Come and see the empty tomb. I'm alive for you. I rose from the dead to give you life. God created you for a relationship. That's why he made you. It's the reason that you were put on this earth. That's the baseline. He made you to know you. Let that sink in for just a second. We have a problem. Our sins separate us from that God because he's pure and he's holy, and we aren't. We are not. We have even a bigger problem. There's nothing we can do about it. I can't work hard enough. I can't be good enough. I can't come to this church enough. I can't read my Bible enough. I can't pray enough. There's nothing that I can do about that sin because I'm not holy. But Jesus was, and he came, and he went to our place on the cross and took our death and that separation on himself. And the scripture says that in the greatest exchange and the greatest gift ever given, if you place your faith and trust in him, his righteousness becomes your righteousness. You are clothed in Jesus. It takes faith. It takes trust. Scripture goes on to say that everyone who believes in him and trusts him will have eternal life. Zoe, eternal life. And that life, it's not just a heaven one day. That life begins the day you trust him and listen. Why would you not do that today? Let's pray together. I'm just going to give you a second in silence, because it could be that the Lord speaks to your very heart this morning and says, come and see. Oh, come and see. Your ultimate longing is for me. You have great fears. Come and see. Death has been defeated. Come and see. Do you need to trust Christ this morning? Tired of empty, fake, hopeless existence? Tired of dead religion? Come and see. If you'll admit your separation from God, that you are a sinner, if you'll believe that Jesus died and rose again, that he is the ultimate champion, undefeated, undisputed, heavyweight champion of the world. If you'll believe that and commit your life to it, oh God, my life is yours. Simplest way I know how, I put my faith in you. Take this sin, give me life. He will answer just as he said. Is that you this morning? Why don't you pray that prayer? Why don't you place your faith? There's going to be a few of us down here at the front that are so willing to talk to you and help you celebrate faith decisions today. Won't you come during this invitation reflection song? Love to visit with you how you can know Jesus and follow him. God, you are victorious, high and lifted up. God, you have given us the greatest story, but it's so much more than a story, God. It's life. It's who you are. So we celebrate you this morning. All across this room, the church is full because of you, Jesus. In the midst of a world that seems to be crumbling apart around us, even in our personal worlds that may be crumbling apart, we believe. So Lord, help those this morning who don't have faith. May they come to you and may they see that you give life. We pray this in your sweet name. Amen.